Oh, no, good. Father, this morning, once again, you're inviting us, you're calling us up higher, you're calling us into a greater reality of life in your Son Jesus, living with you, relating with you, and you with us, and your word that is so full of life. And so we want to thank you once again for your incredible involvement and just your goodness in saying, come to us as a family, come and participate more. And so we want to thank you once again for what you're going to share with us, what you're going to impart and release into our lives. And we give you the praise for this through your Son, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Good stuff. Okay, guys. Last time we looked at Romans chapter 8, and we're going to continue over there because I want to just go into a little bit more about the work of the Holy Spirit in interceding, because, you know, like you were saying, Leonie, last time, and Rachel also, there's you can see the Holy Spirit's putting a emphasis on intercession, and we need to we're going to understand the role of the Holy Spirit in our partnership with him in intercession, because it's crucial for us to get that understanding based on what God shared with us last week about the law of the Spirit that gives life. And so just to recap for a moment or two, we looked there in Romans chapter 8, and just going to read from verse 1 again. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So remember, you and I, we're dealing with our union with Christ, what he has done for us, and our participation in what he has already done for us. And so then in verse 2, the reason, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. And that is what we were looking at over there, because remember, we were focusing on that there's two laws. Through Adam's disobedience, the law of sin and death came into operation. The wages of sin is death. And all of humanity had this law, and that law could not be changed. It's a law. God said the wages of sin is death. Okay? And so there was this law that was operating in all of humanity. And that's why, as we shared last time there, no one taught us to be sinful. It's just because there's a law operating in us. And so all of humanity, we were enslaved, and those who are not in Christ Jesus are still enslaved and are still having this law of sin and death operating within them. Okay, there's no escaping from that power, from that law, outside of Jesus Christ. And then we see over here, but something took place, and we looked at some of the scriptures there in Romans chapter 6 as well. And then we saw over there that there came this reality that Christ's obedience brought in the righteousness for all mankind. So through the disobedience of Adam, this law of sin and death came into operation for all humanity, but through the obedience of Jesus Christ, a new law came into operation, the law of the Spirit that gives life. And every born-again believer, that's our reality. We have this law of the Spirit operating within us. And just to go a little bit back, just read a few scriptures over here back into Romans 6 about our union with Christ, because this is crucial in helping many believers breaking free from sort of sin behavior. And it's the main reason why believers, we battle to break away from sin behavior, is because we don't understand and have not accepted by faith this law of the Spirit that gives life. And the moment that folk began to accept that and to realize, but this is who we are. We've got another law operating. It's a law of the Spirit, and this law releases life, this life of Christ. Everything that Christ did in his death and resurrection, this law of righteousness, that's the law now operating within us. And the moment we start to believe that and receive that, we start to experience this this grace of God that operates with this law of the Spirit that gives life. And so that is what we've been looking at over there, and we saw that, and this is helpful as I shared to really disciple people that are really battling and are disillusioned because they've made promises to God, they've tried to keep the word of God, and they've become very disappointed because soon they found them slipping back into the old lifestyle in a sense, and there's that condemnation and all that takes place. And that's why in Christ there's no condemnation, because there's a new law operating. And we need to help people to step into the reality of this new law of the Spirit that gives life. Okay. And so we've got that taking place. And we saw there, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. And we touched this many times months ago. Remember when Paul is speaking here in Romans chapter 6 about the old self was crucified. That word, old, that word self is the word for humanity. And so all our old humanity, the law of sin and death that was operating in the old humanity, who we were outside of Christ, that law was broken. So the power of sin and death is no longer operating within us. That's the old man. That's the old humanity. However, Paul carries on and he speaks about we still have what he calls the body of sin. You see, in our body, it's called the flesh many times in Paul's language over there. Sin still operates there, but the power of sin is no longer operating. That's why you and I don't have to yield to the sin operating in our bodies. Still those appetites, still those desires, and all that kind of stuff over there. We don't have to yield because no longer are we enslaved, no longer are we obeying the law of sin and death. You see, we're not slaves to sin anymore. We're now slaves to righteousness. There's this new law. And when we receive this reality of this new law of the Holy Spirit that's releasing life into us, we partake in the reality of the death and resurrection of Jesus. And that is why we get what they call, in theology we call sanctification. And we're starting to find more and more the sin in our flesh, the sin in our body, hasn't got a hold over us over there. And more we are being transformed into the likeness so that, the effects of this life of the Holy Spirit is being released, not only within our soul dimension, but also the victory over every area in our life that we used to be enslaved to sin. Again, that's just in a nutshell, the reality of sanctification. And so we saw that over there, that now we can live a new life. And then remember, now if we have died with Christ, we believe. See, this is where the faith comes in, being fully persuaded by the Holy Spirit that this is what's actually happened. We believe we will also live with him. Powerful. That's the law of the Spirit that gives life operating within us. For we know. Notice that, for we know, it's this persuasion, it's this confidence, it's this the faith reality that we have received by God. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under law, but under the grace. And this is the reality of the Spirit. This law of the Spirit of God releases the reality of this grace of God. And that is why we have the victory. There's no longer the power, that law of sin operating within us, and death. And this is important, because as we go on, we'll begin to understand this foundation, why it is so necessary. Many times, as I shared last time as well, just to recap a little bit more, many times as believers, we feel so guilty because we may have a thought of doubt. We may have a thought, there may be this sort of maybe a lustful thought that comes into our minds, or a thought of I wish you were dead kind of stuff. That thought suddenly grabs up into your mind there. It's not the thought. Remember, because we're dealing with we've got this body, and in this body, there's still the reality of the sin operating. But now there's no power to that thought unless we yield to it. The power of sin and death has broken with the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's why we can take every thought captive. Because we're not enslaved to that old law that was operating within us. We now have a new law operating. So we are now able to take that thought captive and not yield to that thought and give it life. Okay. In sin. And so that's why as believers, we've got to help them to understand this law of the Spirit, so that they can walk in the victory. They can walk being free from addictions, free from all kind of sinful behavior that they were bound to, and live in the power of this new law. It is the power of God operating. That's why the gospel, the centrality of Christ, is the power of God for us who believe. It's because there's the law of the Spirit that gives life operating. That's the good news that you and I have. Okay, so that was just a recap from last Sunday. Okay, but I want to carry on, because we're reading this morning from still Romans, and we're going to be reading there from verse 26. But I need to go back through Romans chapter 8 and just highlight a few scriptures to help the context of that. But let's read verse 26. In the same way, so he's connecting what he's going to be saying now to what he has previously said. Okay, that's important to understand the concept of the groaning of the Spirit. Okay, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray, for the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. What is the will of God? And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed. This is the will of God. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Those he predestined, he also called, and those he called, he also justified, and those he justified, he also glorified. We won't go into all of that this morning. But here we see the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Remember when Jesus spoke about the Holy Spirit to his disciples, and he said over there that I'm going to be leaving you, I'm going back to my Father, and he says over there, I will not leave you as orphans. That's important for us to receive. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I'm in my Father and you are in me and I am in you. And then he carries on over there and he speaks about the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him for he lives with you. But here's the key. And I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. And he is called the Spirit of Truth. Now, as I shared last time there, the apostles are not bringing in any new doctrine. The apostles are Christ as the chief cornerstone. And the apostles are taking what Jesus has taught and bringing in the explanation, expounding it for you and I and for the believers at that time. And so here Paul is taking what Jesus has spoken about the Holy Spirit coming to live within us, being our helper. And now he's busy expanding that so that we get a fuller understanding of what our Lord Jesus has already spoken. Remember, in those last days, God has spoken through his son, Jesus Christ, and the apostles are building. That's how they build. They build on the revelation of Jesus Christ. Anything that's coming outside of that, be careful of. It has to be built on the reality of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, so here we have the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes to us through wordless groans. Yeah, I believe it brings quite a bit of confusion very often about this word groans. And so let's see what Paul means with the word groans, because we've got to go back now to verse 5 of Romans 8. Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set in what the flesh desires. Okay, that's those that still got the power of sin operating, but also the anyone that has yielded to the sinful nature. Sinful nature will always have the mind set on that sinful nature, okay? So that is why as a believer, many believers that you may be discipling are still, they don't know the new law of the Spirit operating. They haven't received that. And so they're still trying to work in their own ability to be sanctified, to change their lives. They're not living in the reality of the help of the Holy Spirit. And so they're giving into the flesh all the time and they give up and so their minds will be a worldly mindset. Okay. So it happens to believers as well that don't know how to walk in the Spirit. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set in what the Spirit desires. So Jesus says, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. He's going to be your advocate. He's going to be the one who's going to come alongside of you. That's going to be with you forever. And I'm never going to leave you. Okay. And so the mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's laws, nor can it do so. Remember Ezekiel 36. I'll give you a new heart. I'll take that rebellious heart, that heart of disobedience away from you. I'm going to put you in the heart of flesh. That's the heart of obedience. But I will also put my Spirit in you that will move you to obey. See, that's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. That's the help of the Holy Spirit, enabling us to actually live in the truth, to obey the truth. You can't obey the truth in our own human strength. We need the Holy Spirit that God is, it's the Spirit of life. So we need his operation. We need to accept his ministry in us to be able to obey the truth. That's why the Great Commission, teach them to obey. We've got to teach the guys the reality of the Holy Spirit, his law of life operating within us so that we can partner with his obedience, with Christ's obedience and live in that realm of his obedience. Okay, so here we go now in verse 9. Let me just find and – And so, yeah, we're carrying on with that there about the spirit that gives life. So let me just carry on here a little bit more, because now it comes on there in verse 14. For those who are led by the Spirit are children of God. Okay? For those who are led by the Spirit are children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves. What did Jesus say? I will not leave you as orphans, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. And if we are God's children, then we are heirs. Okay. Then we come now to the groanings. I want to just get here another. Sorry, I'm just skipped something over here. Yeah. And so now we come to the reality of the groanings. So the background to this is that the Holy Spirit has come into us. Now, by the Holy Spirit, we've come into the reality of sonship, of all of that. Okay. Now we come and Paul starts to speak about the groaning. And he says over here that creation will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Okay, so now we see that creation had experienced a glory before the fall. Creation was living in the reality of the glory of God without any sin affecting it. Then comes Adam and Eve, there's the fall. And so we see there that creation is groaning because creation knows what they had and what they now have. So there's a groaning in creation that's taking place because they had experienced something so incredible, and now they are subject to this frustration. See, for the creation was subject to frustration, not by its own choice. No. You see, because of sin that came into the world. And so now there's a groaning that's taking place. But you got to understand that it knows, creation knows something more. And it's stuck into something that is frustrating creation. Okay. That's crucial to understand that part in the praying and by the Spirit and the groaning. So we carry on over here. Verse 23. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly. All of a sudden, what's taking place over here? Yes, another understanding of the groaning. So creation itself and knows what it had, not knows what it's got. So creation is looking forwards to the end of the age, and then when all this becomes, you know, the sons of God are glorified and the return of Christ, etc., etc. So creation is looking forward to that, and that looking forwards is a groaning. We now who have received the first fruits of the Holy Spirit, we too groan inwardly as we eagerly await for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. And so here we see what I've just been speaking earlier on over there. We have received the Holy Spirit. Earlier on, we've been adopted into the family of God. So our spirit understands, our spirit is beholding something that is beyond the experience of our bodies. So within every one of us as believers, there is an inward groaning that many, many times we are unaware of this groaning, because the spirit is only the first fruit of so much more that's awaiting us when our bodies when our bodies have been redeemed. That's why we get a new spiritual body. We get a, that's why there has to be the death of this flesh, and into the new spiritual reality of the resurrection body. And that 1 Corinthians chapter 15, et cetera, speaks a lot about this over there. But we know that there's a groaning. And as I said, there are times when you recognize the groaning, because inside of you, you are aware that there's so much more awaiting you, but you're frustrated because you're in this body of sin that doesn't have the power of sin, the law of sin operating, but there's the limitation. Just as creation is frustrated because of the limitations that's placed upon it because of sin, so you and I, our spirit is tasting the first fruits. Our spirit knows there's so much more, and that, but our bodies, it's like this sense holding us back. Okay. And so there will be that final adoption to the full reality of sonship when there's the redemption of our bodies. For in this we hope. You see, it's a future thing, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. So here's the reality. Now, based on this inward groaning that you and I are experiencing, sometimes it may be your own groanings because you're just so aware and there's no words, because the word groaning means an utterance without words. You see? And so but I think all of you will recognize there's that inward groaning and you feel your spirit is moved. You feel there's a drawing on your spirit. There's this groaning in your spirit. And that's why, because of what you know in your spirit, what lies ahead. Okay. Now, in the same way, he's speaking about the reality of our bodies. He's speaking about the frustration that you and I have. In the same way, the spirit helps us in our weaknesses. Now that's important over here, because we need to open this up a little bit over here. The Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. Jesus speaks in Matthew chapter 11. Let me just read that there. Jesus says, come to me in verse 28, all who are heavy burdened, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Here Paul, once again, is now explaining the teaching of Jesus in that whole reality. Jesus said, I'm giving you the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is your advocate. He's the one that's going to come alongside of you. You come alongside of a person, and now we start to see what it means to be this yoke. Take this yoke. And so the Holy Spirit who helps us in a weakness. Yeah, the word weakness is our humanity. It's, it can be a sickness. It's just lack of strength. You just, sort of really at the end of yourself kind of thing. And that, it could be overcome with anxiety, overcome with fear, overcome with all the trials of life kind of thing. It explains life a lot. In the same way, important words, the Spirit helps us. The way the Holy Spirit helps us, and that word helps is important because it connects to the teaching of Jesus that says, come and take my yoke. The Holy Spirit doesn't take away your part in the journey. But what the Holy Spirit does, just say you're carrying this huge log and you're trying to carry it by yourself. It's very heavy. The Holy Spirit comes and picks the one end up. Now the Holy Spirit helps you. So now it's not only you carrying this load. Now you've got the help of the Holy Spirit carrying it with you. This is the reality. This is the partnership. This is the oneness together with the Holy Spirit. But with the Holy Spirit helping you and I, there's a law of life that's being released in our lives that enables us to operate in the grace. As Paul writes over there, when Jesus said, my grace is sufficient for you because in your weakness, I am made strong. I'm glorified. And so in our weakness, we are now realize, Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you that you are helping me. Thank you that, we are receiving the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We're acknowledging his ministry and we will experience the incredible grace, the life of the Holy Spirit enabling us in our time of weakness. Okay. So picture, he's not going to take your yoke from you. Jesus says, take my yoke. See, the yoke, we'll be connected together. So now we're connected with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is helping us over there. But there's the power of the Holy Spirit. There's the life of the Holy Spirit now in our situation, in our lives, in our emotions, in our mind, in our body, in the weakness of our body. We're experiencing that there. And then he carries on. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us. Let's stop over there. So yeah, we have another thing over here. The word intercedes is a petition for us. And so here we have the Holy Spirit who is interceding. He's coming face to face with God the Father, with Christ the Son, and now he's speaking to them on our behalf. He is the one now that knows exactly what's taking place. The Holy Spirit is the one that in every situation in our life, in every area of weakness in our life, the Holy Spirit, when you and I recognize the help and the ministry of the Holy Spirit, we will not try and solve the problem as an orphan. We now will begin to realize and receive and experience the ministry of the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit now comes to God and the Holy Spirit face to face interacts with God, with us. Try and picture that incredible truth in your weakness and experience the life of the Spirit operating over there. And so it carries on and we see over here the word pray. Let me just go to verse 26. So we don't know what we ought to pray. The word pray over here, it's a beautiful word because it speaks about this is what's happening in our lives. This is what's going through our minds. This is the frustration that you and I are having. Now, I want to know what your way is, Father. I've come face to face with you to be able to exchange all that's going through my mind, all those emotions, all that doubt. Whatever. I want to exchange that with what's going in your mind. That's what this word intercession, this word prayer is all about. So there's a divine exchange, and it's the Spirit of God that enables you and I to receive that divine exchange of what actually is happening. One of the best examples of this I found is in the book of Job. Here's such an example of this teaching. Job is in a place where everything is going wrong. He hasn't got understanding of what's taking place. Because Job's worldview is the moral law of God. His friends that are coming, they've also got this worldview. That's how they look at the world. The blessings and the curses, Deuteronomy 28. So Job, you were blessed because you were obedient. But now everything's going wrong. Obviously you have broken the moral law of God. And so now you've got God's curses upon you. And Job is saying, but I don't, you know, and there's this confusion. And all Job was longing for is to have an audience with God and to say, God, what's happening? what's happening? I don't understand. Okay? That's you and I. That's our weakness. So Job's friends come and Job's friends try to help him, but they're understanding it from the law of sin and death. That's their counsel. That's their worldview. That's the way that they got their glasses on. That's how the way they see everything. It's through the moral law of God, the law of sin and death. Okay. The Holy Spirit is not like those friends. Okay. The Holy Spirit comes and is a spirit of life, taking what Jesus has done. And the Holy Spirit comes and the Holy Spirit now intercedes, comes, helps us carry the load. He goes to the Father and says, Father, this poor child of yours is eagerly wanting to know what's taking place. They've got no idea. And it's the Holy Spirit that knows the mind of Christ and knows the mind of God, that knows the things of God, begins to impart it to your spirit. Okay. Not only so, but we ourselves, we have the first fruits of the Spirit grown inwardly. Sorry. And then we carry on. Sorry. We do not know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us. Now, through wordless groans, there's two main lines there. Some would say this is the groaning of the Holy Spirit, but most would say the Holy Spirit doesn't groan. This is the reality of what we've just read there, that we ourselves are groaning inwardly because we're eagerly awaiting for our adoption to sonship. And I take that because that's been my experience in that. In the frustration of not knowing the mind of God, in the frustration of being boxed up into this weakness, this human frailty, because we haven't received the full redemption of sonship, because our bodies, we still got these earthly bodies. That in that frustration, in our pain, in our sicknesses, in all of that over there, guys, you now know you're not alone, because we have the Holy Spirit that is now coming to carry that load with us. But the Holy Spirit comes to the Father, and the Holy Spirit is standing in our place, speaking and releasing the will of God, releasing the wisdom of God, releasing the ways of God within us. And we find we are groaning. We are groaning in our misery. We are groaning in our pain. We are groaning in that. And very, as I said, very often you pick that up within your spirit. You feel how your spirit is groaning because you know there's more, but you just don't know what the will of God is. You just don't know what's taking place in your life right now. So we know. Let me carry on over there. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. That will of God is, it's a word called for bullseye. The Spirit hits the target straight away. The Spirit comes and he releases to you and I the target, the bullseye. This is what's taking place over there. And he begins to minister to us. And as he leads us into the truth, we find how we are lifted up. We find we cannot move forward because truth is coming. The Spirit of truth is enabling us, giving us life, giving us faith, giving us truth, guiding us into the truth of what's taking place. And what's taking place? Well, we've been predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. So that was taking place. What's taking place? All things are working good for those who love him. That's what's taking place. And so that's what we start to experience, the law of the Spirit that gives life. So all of a sudden from battling to know and what is taking place there, you start to experience this is actually what's taking place there. That is a relief. That is a breakthrough in our lives. But the Holy Spirit is the one that's helping us. So don't think that the Holy Spirit is going to, or don't think that He's going to take away and going to just take your part away. No, he's going to work with you so that you can experience the life of the Holy Spirit, that you can experience the power of God, that you can experience the grace of God. And in all of this, you can experience the goodness of God as the Holy Spirit intercedes, as the Holy Spirit, shares with you things and lifts you up so that you and I can now enter into a greater, greater experience of the life that we have in Christ Jesus, a greater experience, a greater reality of living as a child of God, operating in the law of the Spirit that gives life. And so all of that is taking place in our lives. And so the groaning you will experience within your own heart, and that I think there's you know, some folk will speak it's tongues, whatever way the groaning is manifested, you will know. But it's your connected, your spirit to spirit will connect to what this groaning is all about, and you will feel that pull. You will feel knowing more, and sometimes the words that just come out of you is just groans because you just don't understand. But you know that there's more because we have the first fruit of the Holy Spirit within us. So we know there's more. We just don't understand. We're caught up in our human weakness. But the Holy Spirit helps us. And that's going to happen and happen and happen until we have the full adoption to the fullness of sonship, that still awaits us, as children of God. And that, so God bless as you experience the ministry of the Holy Spirit. As we have communion this morning, again, because the Holy Spirit is our helper, Paul carries on and he says over there, what then, after all of that, what then can we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for all of us, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Powerful. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. We've got the Spirit of God interceding. We've got our Lord Jesus Christ interceding. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height or depth, or anything else in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Powerful. And this is why we're celebrating our Lord Jesus as we partake in the communion today. Father, thank you. And as we just share together as a family, we want to celebrate the life of your Holy Spirit in us. Holy Spirit, thank you that in our weakness, you intercede. How you help us carry a load. And we want to thank you for that. So this morning as we have communion, Lord Jesus, we celebrate what you have done and bringing us into this life, bringing us into the new life, bringing us into the reality of the law of your Holy Spirit in us. Thank you that you broke the power of sin and death. That law doesn't operate within us. Thank you for the freedom. Thank you that we can live with the Holy Spirit. We are able to follow you. We are able to obey you. We are able to say yes to your truth and find ourselves walking in it because we've got the law of the Spirit that gives life operating within us. So thank you this morning as we eat together and drink together. Amen. Amen.